Well, money can't buy you happiness, but if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, it can buy you Patrick Mahomes. And that just seems to buy you Super Bowls because they just can't stop winning them. If you were expecting a happy podcast, this is probably not the one for you. But there are different levels of emotions going on right now. I think we have both sides of the spectrum. I think we have sadness representing, I mean, being represented by Sam, and then just pure anger being represented by me. So, Sam, should we start with sadness or anger?
You think that's the two sides of the coin, anger and sadness? Where's happiness?
Right. It's not on our coin.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Man, there's a lot that we could talk about this big game. Those of you guys joining in, I'm sure you know the Super Bowl was on Sunday, just yesterday.
Oh, really?
For us taping. The Niners were in it against the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell. I guess we could start. Would it have been worse if the Niners got blown out in this game or lost in the way that they lost this game?
I don't know. I'm not a 49er fan. You tell me.
Man, I think this is probably better. If they got absolutely blown out, that might have been worse.
Well, here's the problem with that, though. They looked like they were on their way to blowing the Chiefs out. The fact that the Chiefs had 15 yards of offense in the first quarter, I don't understand how they didn't go into that second half without a 2 or 3 touchdown lead. It was ridiculous. And if there's ever a team that you can't allow just to hang around, it is the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know if we had a pie chart, what percentage this is of, you know, the 49ers giving this game away or the Kansas City Chiefs taking it away. It's probably a good combination of both. But I feel like if you're a 49er fan, you can't help but wake up this morning, or at least after the game, especially after the game, and just go, we totally gave that game away.
Yeah, I know listening to Brock Purdy's press conference, he was very accountable for everything. He felt like he let, as the leader of the offense, he let the team down because they weren't able to capitalize on those two turnovers they got early from Kansas City. They weren't able to capitalize on the fact that the Chiefs offense was awful in the first half, over really half of this game. I don't know. I think a lot of the blame is going to Kyle Shanahan, and that's a big thing that I wanted to talk about with you today.
Yep.
But I would say it's more of the Chiefs going out and winning this game. I mean, that drive in overtime was just amazing. Right, there was no way the Niners were stopping that team.
Yeah, so I think my dad actually said it best. I don't know if he said this in the fourth quarter or overtime. It applies to both. But when the 49ers were up and it was Kansas City who had to drive down and go tie the game to go into overtime and then go drive down and win. I believe he said it in the fourth quarter. He was like, there's not a Kansas City fan in the world right now that's nervous. There just isn't. He was like, there's more 49er fans right now nervous than Kansas City Chiefs fans. Because it felt so inevitable that they were going to go down and score. It felt like if the Chiefs had the ball last, the game was going to end with them winning. No, there's no way in the world that this game doesn't end with the Chiefs driving down and scoring. That's just what it felt like. And it's exactly what happened. And it's so crazy that it feels that predictable.
Yeah, I mean, you give Mahomes, Andy Reid 4 hours plus to analyze and break down a defense. I think they knew exactly what was going to be working, and it was just not fully on display. I think a part of that too was the way San Francisco adjusted playing defensively. I think they were playing really conservatively and playing more to not to lose that game than to actually go out and stop Kansas City. But with all this being said, right, with all of Mahomes's brilliance, Travis Kelce's brilliance, the defense for Kansas City, those DBs, wow, they played incredible. What the heck is that? There wasn't an open receiver the entire game for San Francisco. With all that being said, the biggest play in that game was the punt mishap.
Yeah.
That was by far the biggest point in that game.
Yeah, that totally flipped the entire game. And almost immediately, too. And I don't know who... Okay, so the only real experience I have from this was just from playing. And I was never a punt returner, but I was in charge of making sure he didn't get killed. So... When you're on punt return and you're trying to stop the gunners from getting all the way down there, I know that as a punt returner you have to yell, you know, Peter, fire, whatever the word is to get people away from the football.
Yep.
But there is at least some responsibility, I think, for the people who are on punt return, especially if you are trying to block the gunner, so you know you're going to be down near the football, to at least throw your head up to know where the ball is. You may not have to track it, but if you see it and it's on your side of the field, then maybe you have a chance to at least get away from it. If you know it's on the opposite side of the field, then you can just kind of stay with your man, and it's not too difficult. I don't know why there didn't seem to be at least some acknowledgement from that. I don't know who it bounced off of. I don't know what the guy's name was. But I don't know how he didn't know where the football was. Because it's not too hard to throw your head up while the punt is in midair to at least track the football. And you don't have to stay on it the entire time, but just to get a gauge of where it's going. So I don't know if that's on – was it Ray McLeod who was –
that was a punt returner, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's on Ray. I don't know if that's on the guy blocking the gunner. I don't know, but
he is
really is just such an unfortunate and unlucky thing, first of all, but it's also seemed like it was totally preventable.
I don't think that's entirely fair. What was his name? I think it was number 26. So have you ever seen that happen in an NFL game?
I mean, it happens from time to time.
It definitely hasn't happened this season.
But very, very, very rarely.
And it came out in the Super Bowl. And that gunner is tasked with blocking a guy down the entire length of the field at that point, right? He's supposed to be between him and the punt returner at that point. I don't know. Maybe it's a thing where you can't hear in that situation because, I mean, that's a huge stadium, loud, all these different factors, right? Even with that being said, even with him not being able to locate the ball or anything, the fact that it barely glances off of him and goes perfectly for Kansas City is so unlikely. That hasn't happened in any game, any other game I've watched this year. Probably the last 5 years, I haven't seen that play happen.
And yeah,
but completely flipped the game.
But I think you're proving my point for me. Part of the reason why it never happens is because it's so easily preventable. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think it's just dumb luck.
Well, yes. One, it's dumb luck that the football bounces so perfectly that it's so easily recoverable by Kansas City. That is true. But in order to get to that situation, you have to have a complete lack of awareness of where the football is to even put you in that position for dumb luck to even take course. So,
but we're assuming that every other team in the league is practicing the way that they're able to do all these things, right, that you're talking about, being able to listen, locate the ball, all these things, right? What if every single team in the NFL is taught the same way that the Niners are taught, and it has, and that play hasn't resulted in one of the players not being the punt returner getting hit with the ball?
Look,
what if they did everything right and it just happened to hit him in the foot?
That's fair. It could have happened. All I can really speak to is just experience having done that in the couple of years that I played football. I always did that. That was always something that I was always on special teams. I was pretty much always on defense as well, except for one year. And that's, it's just such an easy thing to do, to throw your head up when you're running. You don't, like, I'm not saying you have to track it. That's not your job. But you got to know whether or not it's on your side of the field or not. Because if it's not on your side of the field, then you really don't have to worry about it. But if it is on your side of the field, then there is an extra level of awareness that you have to have, because there is always a chance that you're going to be way too close to it. So I don't know whose fault it is. It may actually be nobody's fault. But what I'm saying is that just from having played that position, having done that hundreds of times, it's not that difficult to throw your head up and at least just be aware, like I said, of what side of the field it's on. Because if it is on your side of the field and you're not watching it, now you're allowing dumb luck to possibly take place, which unfortunately for the 49ers, it did.
I mean, so the defense was just playing outstanding in this game, turning over Kansas City twice before then, forcing them to punt on, I think, five of the possessions and getting them to settle for field goals mm-hmm. in two of them, right? Just playing outstanding against this, like, crowned new up-and-coming GOAT of the NFL. He was getting absolutely shellacked in this game by yep. Steve Wilks and this defense. Yes. I think we were sitting there at that point like, wow, Juwan Jennings is going to be probably the MVP, or Christian McCaffrey is going to be the MVP of this game mm-hmm. at that point. And then, boom, that play happens on the punt. Momentum shift entirely. Mahomes, credit to him, very next play, scores 16-yard touchdown, right?
Yep.
Kansas City is now up in this game. Late in the third quarter, Niners have been up the entire game. It's sitting there like, as soon as that ball ends up in Kansas City's hands, my hands are on my head. My head is in my face mm-hmm. for probably 30 seconds. 30 seconds to a minute of that is like, what the hell just happened?
Yep. It happened so fast.
And then to tack it on to with the touch, because you knew they were going to score. Mm-hmm. Right? There's no way. That momentum flip, Andy Reid gets a shot at it again. It's just like, what the hell? Why is this happening?
Yeah, they had done, I mean, everything right up until that point, right? I mean, up until that point, they were playing pretty much a perfect game. Granted, their offense was truthfully awful. Not amazing. I know, I mean, they scored 10 points in the first half, but their touchdown came on a fluke trick play, which we called, by the way. If you listened to the show last week.
Okay, call it a fluke is kind of, what that's I, harsh.
Well, what I mean by it is it's a trick play, right? And it almost didn't work. Thankfully, your guys' offensive lineman, I don't know who it was, came in through a gnarly block on a safety coming down who was going to pick that ball and run it all the way back for six.
Dude, that ball was in the air forever.
It was a jump. That was a jump shot.
I was like, McCaffrey, as the like offensive player, he has to wait for that ball to get to him. Yes. Almost. I know he like goes and like high points it, but a defensive player easily can be breaking on that and going to get it. And you're right. Like, it seemed like O-linemen out there. I think it was like Garden Center out there were almost like boxing out, setting screens.
Romo pointed it out. They went back on a replay and you could see there was a safety on Kansas City who was coming down with bad intentions going after that football. He was going to, if he wasn't going to pick it, he was going to be in position to at least probably knock it down. But one of your guys' O-linemen like chipped him at the last second and pushed him off, which sort of opened up the lane for McCaffrey. It was so close to being intercepted. It didn't look like it on the play because the block was made kind of far away, but that guy had at least two or three more steps before he got to the football. and then McCaffrey took off and scored. So they scored on a trick play. But other than that, and other than the first drive where they went all the way down and obviously fumbled, which, yep, by the way, if you're the 49ers, I think the last thing you were thinking was that the first mistake of the game was going to be Christian McCaffrey fumbling the football.
I mean, that first drive was perfect. Purdy looked on point. They were getting – it seemed like they were getting 7 yards every single play.
Yeah, it was easy for them. That first drive was very easy. And then, but other than that first drive and then the touchdown, they really hadn't done much on offense.
No, Kansas City was applying a lot of pressure. Yeah. And it was those – I mean, it was the DBs, right? A lot of the targets that Brock was putting out was to Debo and to Ayuk. And they are getting guarded by the two best defensive players on Kansas City. I know Chris Jones is amazing, but what Snead and who's the other guy?
I'll find it. Because I'm blanking on his name too, but I'll find it.
Keep going. They played – I mean, they played an amazing game. They were on – Debo and Ayuk the entire time. The only time that Ayuk had any success was when he was matched up in the slot on a safety.
Yes. Well, and so the Chiefs – hang on.
McDuffie, right? Yeah.
Yes, it's McDuffie and Snead, and then they had Williams, Watson, and Jones. So I just found their depth chart. But for the 49ers, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, and George Kittle together combined for 8 catches.
Yeah, Kittle didn't get any looks.
No, it's one thing you always hear, you know, whether or not it's in basketball or football, we're gonna make somebody else beat us, right? We're gonna take their best player out of the game. Somebody else is gonna beat us. They took everybody out of the game. Except for Christian McCaffrey, who, again, had a very good game.
Yeah, he was well on his way to win MVP.
Yeah, he had 160 yards of total offense. He had 22 carries and 8 receptions, so he touched the ball 30 times, had a touchdown, and had over 160 yards.
You know, it might have been a case of because George had that injury bug a little bit coming in, maybe that's why he wasn't factored in too much to the game plan.
Speaking of injury, we cannot go any further and not mention the Greenlaw thing.
That's when you just know it's not the Niners' day.
That was reminiscent of
last year's NFC Championship.
Yep, last year, right?
Where Fred got hurt on like the first series of that game against the Eagles, and then Bosa gets hit on punt. Yeah, completely away from the field. That was bizarre. When they showed that on CBS, I mean, that was just awful because he was amped. He was playing. I think he had 2 tackles in that first series that Kansas City had, and he was thumping.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he had 2 tackles. He had the second down tackle and the third down tackle. Yeah. So
him and Warner were going nuts in the first quarter. They were flying around the field. It was so fun to watch. The defense, the 49ers defense came out amped. They had so much energy. It was like you could feel it through the TV. And Kansas City came out the completely opposite way. They felt so dead from the start. And the 49ers defense probably had a big big role in that. But they just looked like they were absolutely fired up to be out there. And it was really fun to watch. And that just was – that Greenlaw thing was just the first sign of like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, they bounced back from it, though. And the defense continued to do a good job the rest of the game. I think it's just – it's such a big drop-off when you go from that first string to the second string guy in Burks and Flanagan Fowles. They've just played so sparingly this year that it's like, oh man, it's in the Super Bowl. You need to count on all 11 guys on the field to be doing their job, and it's just tough. But I think they came in and played well under the circumstances. The other thing pointing out, you just knew that PAT getting blocked was going to come back to bite the Niners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's another thing. Mm-hmm. How many times have you seen a PAT getting blocked?
So a lot of people were saying that was on him, that he kicked it way too low.
Oh my!
I've heard that a few times today. That
it's on Moody. I think Moody's got a target on his back. I don't know why people hate on. He had a great game.
Yeah, I mean, he was 3 for 3 when it came to field goals. He obviously missed the extra point, but I had heard a few people suggest that maybe he kicked it too low, and I was like, well, I really can't judge that at all. I mean. I've never kicked. I don't know the mechanics really behind it. So maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I have held before, and I can say that having a bad hold really does affect the kick. But I don't know how to comment on whether or not he kicked it too low or not. he was good all game, I thought.
Let's see. I'm watching the
– watching it back. One of the things while you're watching it that I would like to point out, because we were talking about defense for a while, that – what Kansas City did in this playoff run, so they went up against the Dolphins, Bills, Ravens, and 49ers. I'll remind everybody listening that the Dolphins were the number one offense, the Bills were the number four offense, the Ravens were the number six offense, and then the 49ers were the number two offense. And they held the Dolphins to 7, they held the Bills to 24, they held the Ravens to 10, and they held the 49ers to 22. And I believe in the first three games that the quarterbacks combined for like a total QBR or an average QBR of like somewhere in the mid to low 40s. Now, Brock Purdy actually was in the 70s. So he played really well, actually, in comparison to everybody else. But the fact that they shut out, basically just not shut out, shut down 4 of the top 6 offenses in the league is insane, especially considering just how young their defense is. If Kansas City's defense stays at this level for the next 2 or 3 years, which I don't see any reason why it won't, because all of their players are babies, they're like as old as we are, they're going to be so hard to beat. Because mark my words, Kansas City is going to get one of the free agent wide receivers, or they're going to draft. I mean, obviously they can draft somebody, but there are a few wide receivers who are going to come available, i.e. Michael Pittman, i.e. T. Higgins. I don't know what the possibility of this happening would be, but Justin Jefferson. there are going to be a couple wide receivers. Mike Evans was another name. Those 4 names I heard thrown out today on Greeny's show is like, hey, just keep in mind that these people are going to be available. They're going to get one of those guys. I'd be shocked if they don't. And if their defense stays this good and they get one of those guys, they're going to be impossible to beat.
Do they have the cap space to do that?
I don't know. I mean, all of their everybody on defense is really young. So they don't have a ton invested in there. I don't know how long Kelsey's going to keep playing for. He said he was coming back. Obviously they have Mahomes' contract, but I'd be shocked if they don't end up getting one of those wide receivers in the offseason.
Yeah, that's the last thing anyone needs, really. But there's chances, man. The Bills could have ended this run. And Baltimore played well if they just, I don't know, decided to do what they did all year and run the ball.
About the Niners, though. Why did they abandon the run in the second half?
Did they?
They did. Purdy, they threw the ball so much at the beginning of the second half. It was crazy. My mom was screaming at the TV, run the football. And you could hear Tony Romo getting mad on television. He just kept saying, run the football, run the football, run the football. And they just weren't doing it. It wasn't – they did it so sparingly in the second half. It was so weird.
I don't know. I think they were just trying to get into a flow. They hadn't played well pretty much that entire point.
But I feel like if you're doing that, then part of the way you go about that is giving McCaffrey the ball, no?
Well, I think they had a lot of penalties that, like, put them behind. Mm-hmm. Trying to look back at all of these.
I can pull up the penalties right now.
I mean, it is a lot of.
They both had 6. So I don't know. It was weird. It felt – I don't actually have the numbers in front of me to tell me what the differential was from the first half to the second half, but it certainly felt as if they were much more run-heavy in the second half, and they just got away from it in the second half. I didn't understand why. It's not like they never did it, but it didn't seem like it was the focal point of their offense for whatever reason.
And they did hold the ball more. I don't know. It felt like they didn't really have, it was a lot of three and outs. It was a lot of, they were trying to do that misdirection, get Purdy on the run, mm-hmm. to something easy in the flat. Like when they hit early in the game, they hit Juszczyk on that. And then pretty much after that, they weren't able to get anything going. And that was the pivotal third down play in overtime that they tried that.
Yeah.
That got snuffed out and they had to settle for that field goal. They did it a couple other times, I think, on third down. It was just, they were, I feel like, behind the sticks a lot in that second half. And for whatever reason, maybe it was passive. But I think there is an element where you do have to be unpredictable. It's not like McCaffrey didn't get his. He did get 22 carries. He got 30 touches overall. So I don't know if it's really a case of, oh, is Daryl Luter Jr. was the guy that had the ball hit off his heel. I don't really know if it was a case of play calling. I think that's the biggest thing, and we can kind of go into that now, I guess, the fact that Kyle Shanahan is being labeled as the biggest choker in football right now.
The big game loser. Yeah, so the Super Bowl where he was with the Falcons, he was the OC. Obviously, that was the 28-3 game, the very famous one. The Super Bowl against the Chiefs, they lost after holding a 20-10 lead, and then obviously they lost this one after holding a 10-0 lead. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay, can we, like, let's miss me with that. The fact that the Niners were up 10-0 in the second quarter.
Right.
Oh, he's, like, the only coach to give up, to have a 10-point lead and lose in Super Bowls. It's like, there's plenty of game left.
Yeah, you're right, because the Chiefs – I was telling my dad and my mom, we're all watching this game, and there's like 4 minutes left and the Chiefs have the ball. I was like, the Chiefs are like in control of this game right now. They go down and score, they get the ball in the second half, they score again, like the game flips immediately. Like, it's not, I know it's 10-0, but this game it's ridiculously close.
Right. Like I was watching this game at a pretty big Chiefs fan contingency. Like, there was a lot of Chiefs fans there. It was a good mix.
Yeah.
And
to that, again, I don't know why you didn't come over to our house, because we were so anti-Chief. We would have been supporting you.
Well, it was working out for the first 3 hours. But that was the big thing. It was like, okay, like, they were talking to each other, like, hey, don't worry. Like, the Chiefs are driving a little bit. And they were like, if we score here, we get the ball back to start the second half. So it was like, this game is not a two possession game in reality, because the Chiefs are getting multiple more possessions.
Yeah.
Right. So the fact that that is getting thrown out as his, like, a hit against his legacy as a coach is just ridiculous.
Yes. No, I get that, because it was never – It was basically one long possession, right? I mean, you get the ball. You get the ball with, like, what? They had, like, 4 or 3 minutes left. You know that they're probably going to go down and score, or at least hold on to it and make sure the 49ers don't get it back. And then they get it in the second half. It's basically just one giant possession where they get to try to score twice.
Right. Like, San Francisco's offense couldn't do anything in the middle of that.
No.
Right? So what is Shanahan supposed to do there?
Yeah.
It's just, I think he played a great, like I said, just as, and fair is fair, right? San Francisco got all the bounces against Detroit, literally and figuratively, when it comes to the Ayuk catch bouncing off a guy's helmet, right? They got all the breaks in that game. They got the key turnovers. They got all everything in that game to come away with a win and come back from a 17-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be fair in acknowledging the fact that if Kansas City doesn't get both of the punt muff and the blocked PAT, if they just get one of those, I think San Francisco wins this game. But right. The fact that they got both was the perfect storm for Kansas City to win this game.
Yeah, so I've got some numbers here for you on the ridiculousness of Patrick Mahomes. Because putting my fandom for the Raiders and hatred for the Chiefs aside, Patrick Mahomes is probably the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Whoa.
No. I'm not saying, again, best and greatest are two different things. Brady's still the greatest quarterback I've ever watched. But at least at this point, I don't see any reason why you couldn't say that Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback you've ever seen play. Brady, again, is still the greatest. And I still think – I know that people are talking about the gap between Mahomes and Brady is really closing really fast. I pump the brakes on that. Brady has still more than twice as many Super Bowls as Patrick Mahomes does. And part of the reason why Brady was so great was because he played until his mid-40s. And part of being the greatest quarterback of all time is your longevity. So I'd love to – and the fact that Brady did it with the multiple iterations of the same team and with a different team. So whenever Andy Reid retires and Travis Kelce is gone, I think then you can start talking – if Patrick wins again and again after that, then maybe you can start talking about – him being the GOAT. He's not there yet. I don't think he's even close, but he might be the best I've ever seen. And at least right now, here's a stat right now, before turning 30, this is Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. So before turning 30, Brady had played 14 games, threw for 3,200 pass yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, was a 3-time Super Bowl champ and a 2-time Super Bowl MVP. Mahomes right now, who's I think 28? Is he 28? Or is he 26? Let me pull this up real quick. He's 28. He played in 18 games, threw for 5,100 yards, 41 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 3-time Super Bowl champ, 3-time Super Bowl MVP. So he's outpacing Brady at the moment.
And this is all playoff stats.
And this is all just playoff stats, yes. It's just crazy. And again, to go back to what I was saying, it just felt inevitable when they got the ball at the end of the fourth quarter and in overtime. I had almost no doubt that they were going to go down and score. The 49ers needed an interception or a strip sack, because it just didn't feel like the 49ers were going to stop them at all. And I want to – on that note, I want to get to the decision in overtime to get the ball first, because some of the quotes that are coming out from the 49ers talking about not knowing the overtime rules, and the Chiefs talking about how they've known these rules since training camp and how they went over them every single week and blah, blah, blah. What are your collective thoughts about getting the ball first and the fact that it appeared that nobody on the 49ers, or at least so far, locally, has come out and said that they knew what was going on in overtime?
Why is this a story?
Because it's a bad look. What do you mean, why is it a story?
Why does it matter?
To not know the overtime rules is not good.
So let me get this straight. The fact that the Niners players didn't realize they couldn't let Mahomes and the Chiefs score was the reason why Mahomes and the Chiefs offense went down and scored? Was the defense not trying to stop Mahomes the entire time? I'm confused.
Well, it's really the reverse, because it appears because think about it this way, and I actually think Greeny put it perfectly well with this. This is a great example. So Kyle Juszczyk, right? Mm-hmm. His quote, he said, "You know what? I didn't even realize the playoff rules were different in overtime. I assume you just want the ball to score a touchdown and win. I guess that's not the case. I don't totally know what the strategy there. We hadn't talked about it." So let's say, for example, the 49ers get the ball, they drive down the field, and they score a touchdown. Is Kyle Juszczyk immediately celebrating that they've won the Super Bowl?
Maybe, like, what? But why does that matter right now?
It matters because it just shows like a lack of preparation. Like, how do you not go over that? Whether or not
dude, Shanahan knew.
Okay, it's okay that he knew, but the players need to know that. What nobody can prove is whether or not it actually really affected the outcome of the game. But more than anything,
to me, there's no way it would have affected the outcome of the game.
And that's fine. It doesn't have to. The reason why it's a story is because it's just a bad look. It really is a bad look to come out and say that you don't know what the overtime rules are, because it's one of those things where you go, well, how do you not go over that? I mean, it's how do you not go over the fact that this game could go to overtime, and what the strategy would be if you went into overtime. That's why it's a story. Again,
it didn't impact the game whatsoever. This NFL season is done, and the fact that we are talking about this is ridiculous.
I don't know. I understand. I get what you're saying, and nobody, not myself, not the media, nobody can prove whether or not it actually impacted the game. But at the very least, what it does do is just highlight the fact that that's just, again, not something that you'd never hear that from the Patriots with Belichick. That's just not something you would hear. They would know the overtime rules. They would know what to do. And with the Chiefs, you heard the same thing. They knew exactly what to do. They knew the strategy. They knew the rules. This, that, and the other. So it's just more than anything, it's just weird. It's just weird that they didn't know. Whether or not it impacted the game or not, I don't know. And it maybe it didn't. But it is, at the very minimum, just strange that apparently happened. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. But I think the fact that this is a story and people are covering, I think is just more of a... I think it builds more of the narrative that the fact that Kyle Shanahan isn't doing a good job with the San Francisco 49ers.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's just one of those things where he is doing a good job with the 49ers. But
so then what's the point?
The point is just every little thing that people can use against him. And if you want something to use against him, this is it. This is it. This is something that you can use to make a case as to why Shanahan and the 49ers didn't win the game. Whether or not it's right or wrong, I don't know. But it is at the very minimum something that people could definitely use in a case against Shanahan.
So, okay. Now, Kyle Juszczyk is Harvard grad, smart guy. No idea what's going on here. Maybe Shanahan, the coaching staff, covered it early in the first week, just briefly. Maybe they didn't spend enough time talking about it, right? Especially not enough as Kansas City did, as they've been preparing for it the entire year or whatever. But the fact, like, we don't know really what happened. To insinuate that this had an impact on the game, yeah, would it have been a bad look if the 49ers, if Brock Purdy completed that throw to Juwan Jennings and Juwan Jennings broke a tackle and went into the end zone and they all celebrated? Sure, it'd be a bad look, right? But does that mean they automatically lose the game? No, they would go out and play. And the defense at the end of the day still has to go stop the offense. That was the job the entire time. Right. Is it weird? I totally agree. That is weird that they didn't know. You know what else is weird? The fact that they went out and said it too, because that kind of throws Kyle under the bus a little bit.
Right.
But we don't know actually what went in to the preparation. And I'll say this, right? They're trying to win this game in regulation. They did enough to win this game in regulation if it's not for those two plays. Right. So the fact that we're sitting here like, oh, man, you know what? The Niners might want to look for a new coach because Kyle Shanahan just isn't getting it done. Is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You're right. It wouldn't come into play with Bill Belichick. Oh, wait, it did happen when they played Philadelphia and Bill Belichick sat Malcolm Butler for that game. And everyone goes out like, whoa, why did Bill Belichick sit his best defensive back against the Eagles? And then the Eagles went and threw a party on him. All that stuff, right? That was head-scratching, and no one knew why. But at the end of the day, the defense just got to go out. They knew their assignment. They knew what to do. I think Fred knew what was the case. And even if they didn't know, they saw on the big screen the overtime rules. So they were well aware of it at that point.
So I have to butt in real quick because this is kind of, I guess, some sort of breaking news from Shefty. The numbers are in last night from like the viewership of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So Super Bowl 58, and this is from Shefty, is the most watched telecast ever, with a total audience delivery of 123.4 million average viewers across all platforms.
Wow.
CBS led the way with 120 million viewers, the largest audience in history for a single network. Super Bowl 58 is the most streamed Super Bowl in history, led by a record-setting audience on Paramount Plus. More than 200 million viewers watch all or part of Super Bowl 58 across networks, the highest unduplicated total audience in history, and up 10% versus last year's Super Bowl. I think we all knew the numbers were going to be crazy, but that is a ridiculous number.
Taylor Swift effect?
The Taylor Swift effect, the Patrick Mahomes effect, the 49ers effect.
Mahomes was there last year.
Yes, he was. But again, I think it could have been maybe the fact that, you know, it was going to be his third. It was going to be a back-to-back, which hadn't been done in a very long time. So a lot of things played into that. So, but that's a ridiculous number.
Good for CBS.
Huh?
Good for CBS.
Good for CBS. And it was hilarious too. I don't know if you caught the Roger Goodell Taylor Swift conversation at the beginning, but it was just so funny watching them talk, because I looked at my dad and I was like, that's genuinely a combination of people I never thought I'd see in a booth together. Roger Goodell is just thanking her for all the revenue that she's generating for his league.
And you know Roger had to initiate that conversation too.
Oh, yeah. How aware was of Roger Goodell was Taylor Swift before that conversation?
I bet maybe her manager clued her in that this really important old white guy was going to walk over and he's worth a little bit.
Yeah.
And it would be really nice for Travis's career if she said hi, probably.
Yeah. I'm assuming she knew who he was, but
I doubt it.
But did she know what he looked like?
You really think she knew who Roger Goodell was?
I don't know. I'm assuming somebody had clued her into who it was, yeah.
Well, I don't think he went up to her and was like, hi, I'm Roger Goodell. I'm the NFL commissioner. I don't think that's what happened. I think she learned it probably the day of.
Well, yeah,
he was.
And you know what the interesting thing is too, is that if you don't know what a commissioner of a league is, if somebody came up to you and said, hi, I'm the commissioner of the NFL, and you had no context for what that meant, that means nothing to you.
Oh, cool. So you I don't know, you like,
you work here,
you handle the turf or like groundskeeper, right?
Commissioner's not, I mean, outside of sports, how often do you hear that word? You know, like, how many commissioners do you know in your day-to-day life? I'm guessing none.
I got three in my phone book right now.
Well, there you go. So yeah, I mean, if you just didn't know what that meant, that would mean nothing to you if it came up to you.
Well, I mean, I could just see him if it did, in fact, like, hi, I'm Roger Goodell. I'm the NFL commissioner. Nice to meet you. Yada, yada, yada. Exchange pleasantries. He walks away. She looks over to Ice Spice and Blake Lively and like, who is that?
Who's that? What does he do?
Why do I care?
What does he do?
I just sold out four nights in Tokyo. Why do I care what he, I sold out this stadium.
I know, seriously.
did she go to Vegas? She had to have gone to Vegas.
There was another stat, because of course there was, about how long she was actually on screen. She was only actually on screen for like 57, 53 seconds of the entire broadcast. So,
you know what helped?
What?
The Niners just absolutely destroying Kansas City in the first half.
Yes, that did help. That did help.
But did that hurt? Did that stop the old white guys I was watching the game with every time she came up? Oh, there's a Taylor sighting. Yeah. Oh, there's Taylor on my screen.
Yeah, and honestly, like, just again, and we keep saying it all the time, the hate that she's getting is just absolutely ridiculous. She's just watching the game. Her boyfriend is down there playing in the Super Bowl. I forgive her for being...
Oh, she did perform at Allegiant Stadium. Do you think she was sitting there in the suite and was like, man, I could have swore there was more people at my concert than this game?
Maybe. Apparently, they were able to cram like 4,000 more people into the stadium than what like normally the capacity is. So somehow, some way, they got more people in there.
Wait. So the Kansas City Chiefs in a home game at Allegiant Stadium had more fans than the Las Vegas Raiders home game?
Shocker, it's the Super Bowl, yes.
So they hold the record for a sporting event?
No.
In Allegiant Stadium?
No, the Super Bowl holds the record. The Chiefs hold no records there.
Well, I think Kansas City was the home team.
Yeah, but they didn't No.
So you guys are just like holding rent in the Kansas City Stadium at this point?
Not really. I would like to point out that in his interview at Disneyland, somebody asked Patrick Mahomes who the best defender he's ever gone up against.
Oh my God.
Said?
Oh my God.
You know who he said?
He probably didn't say Nick Bosa because Nick Bosa flattened him.
He didn't say Myles Garrett. He didn't say Aaron Donald. He said Max Crosby.
Hey, you know what? I have been very fair with Crosby and Bosa this year. Bosa showed up.
He did.
Last night.
I was so happy he was playing. Believe me, I was very happy he was playing well.
Now, was Chase Young? He had a really good, I think, first series.
Yes.
But after that, I didn't see him a lot.
No. Chris Jones played better than both of them.
Javon Kinlaw played really – like, I think that defensive line, Eric Armstead played really well. That defense showed up.
Who's 84 on your guys' special teams?
Oh, Conley?
Conley was going to be the MVP. That guy was making every special teams play imaginable. He was having himself a game.
Man, that was a lot of punts in this game.
And he made every tackle. It was crazy.
Now, can I just say in defense of Shanahan, I wrote a little something. I know I got kind of passionate with because you were trying to attack Shanahan and my guy.
Not attacking Shanahan.
Shanahan has been the 49ers head coach for 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. They have made the NFC Championship game 4 times. Coincidentally, those are the 4 times Shanahan has made the playoffs with the Niners.
Mm.
Has made the Super Bowl twice. Yes, he's lost to Mahomes and Reed twice. Not a lot of shame in that, I don't think.
No.
Now, for the people out there that want the Niners to move on from Shanahan, can we just remind ourselves that Andy Reid, who is now tied for 5th all time with Super Bowl rings as a head coach, which is incredible, and is on a heater. It took him 20 years as a head coach to win his first Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan is in year 7.
Mm-hmm.
And the years that he has a healthy quarterback, he's getting to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That's the track record. So we got to pump the brakes. And I think right now, easily is the best coach in the NFC.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like McVay has a Super Bowl ring. McCarthy has a Super Bowl ring. There's guys with rings. Well, Pete Carroll, but he's no longer a coach. There's guys with rings, but I think the floor with Shanahan is so high.
Yeah. No, I agree. He'll get one eventually.
Oh, frick. I hope, man.
He'll get one eventually. I don't see any reason why they're not getting one soon.
Well, and, I'm worried. You know the curse of the Super Bowl loser.
Oh, yes. They don't. There's some layoff for like getting back. I don't know.
Well,
I know
the Eagles, this year, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
The Eagles this year, there was a, like they straight up missed the playoffs years ago. Like Super Bowl losers would just miss the playoffs the next year. I don't think the Niners will. But there is definitely a drop off.
Yeah. Well, but there hasn't been for you guys. You know, I mean, you made the Super Bowl 4 years ago. You guys were still dominant. So I don't see any reason why you guys aren't going to be. You guys are the favorites to win next year, apparently.
That's ridiculous.
I do.
I don't know what game Vegas was watching. It was right there.
I know. We know how many people watched it. So I'm sure plenty of people from Vegas watched it.
Dude, Deebo got 11 targets and only had 3 catches.
Yep.
Man, Brock had him open in the end zone twice.
I know, and it felt like every chance that they had were like, it was like, oh, that was so close. You go back and they show the replay, and like, Brock's got somebody in his face,
yep.
Or he's getting pushed over, or like the throw to Deebo that he had, yes, was a little bit over, but he had somebody in his lap. He got blown up immediately when he threw it. The final drive where they kicked the field goal to go up, Chris Jones just runs unblocked right at Purdy. If he gets even chipped, that's probably a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I thought Brock played really well. I thought he played really well. He missed a couple throws here and there. But he had the best QBR by a wide margin of anybody against the Chiefs this postseason.
Well, Juwan Jennings had a 158, or no, Juwan Jennings had a 99 QBR.
Oh, there you go. He didn't turn the ball over, and he looked calm the entire game. Genuinely, he looked really calm. It didn't look like he was super nervous. He wasn't dancing around there with happy feet trying to get like He played really well. For it being his first Super Bowl and it being his second year, I thought he played really well.
Yeah, just everything about that game. Like Deebo or Dre Greenlaw tearing his Achilles, mm-hmm. just running out of the field. Deebo having that hamstring cramp, and it looked like, oh my God, Deebo's going to be out. This is it. George coming in with injuries, leaving late in that fourth quarter, OT. With a shoulder injury,
mm-hmm.
coming back. It was just like, man, the Niners can't. Can some of the Chiefs get injured here? Let's even it out a little bit.
Yeah, it did feel like all of the injuries were piling up on Kansas City's side, and that was it. So if you'd like, we can hop off the game a little bit and talk a little bit about stuff outside of the game, such as the halftime performance and some of the commercials, because there were some good ones.
Not a bad year for commercials.
Not a bad year for commercials. You got any that that stand out for you?
I think the best. So it was actually really hard to hear. I was sitting a little farther back from the TV, so I couldn't hear a lot of the commercials. But the Dunkin' Donuts one with Ben Affleck was really good.
Yeah, and Matt Damon had the best line in that trailer.
Yeah, he was so good.
To be your friend.
Well, the pop from the room was when J-Lo was like, oh, Tom, you can stay.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. That one was really good. I really liked the very first commercial that they led off with, which was the Falcons, the Eagles, and the Seahawks one.
Uh-huh.
Flying in the migration. And then at the end they laid an egg and he was like, oh, look, a rookie. That one was really good. There was a commercial for Paramount Plus that had randomly like Creed playing.
Yep.
And then the lady was
Wait, was that the that was the Tua one, right?
Yes. and the Patrick Stewart one.
Yeah.
That one was hilarious. The line, like, oh, great, Creed's here, was great. That was funny. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. They played that stupid, like, orange commercial that, like, what was it? The shopping commercial where, like, the Shop Like a Billionaire commercial, like, 10 times. I hated that. That was so annoying. I don't know why they kept repeating that commercial.
The Uber Eats one was pretty good with Jennifer Aniston at the end.
Yes, that one. That one actually was pretty good. The forgetting everything.
Yeah. And who are you? What was it? It was I just thought of it and I just forgot it. Oh, which one did you like? The first Jesus ad or the second one?
The first one was pretty cool.
Which one was the one where they were washing the feet? Was that the first one?
I think that was the first one.
You thought that was cool? Because like everyone in the room was absolutely confused. We were all like, what the fuck is this commercial for?
I didn't mind that one. It took a second to realize what it was, but about halfway through the trailer, it was pretty clear what it was for.
I'm sorry. Can we just have like a rule? Like, you're not supposed to talk about religion, politics, all this stuff at the Thanksgiving table. Let's keep it to none of that in my Super Bowl watching experience. Because when my dad, heavily conservative, starts blurting out some stuff because of a Robert Kennedy political ad comes on, I just get embarrassed. So if we could just keep it to BMW, Bud Light, totally love it. Budweiser with the horses again, totally love it. Right. But if we can just keep the politics and religion out of it for my sake, that'd be great.
The Pickle Babies, that's the title of the commercial. I actually have the list here in front of me. The pickleball ones with the babies.
Oh, the E-Trade.
That one was kind of fun. The Michael Cera one was kind of funny.
Yeah, this is like free publicity for these companies. The fact that this is exactly what they want from these ads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally. Obviously, the Beyonce one was really good for Verizon. She announced that she was doing but it wasn't like funny.
And then the best thing, the absolute best thing to come out of that, out of the Super Bowls, was the announcement of the Deadpool trailer, which I told my dad before the game. I was like, I have been reading speculations that if we're going to get a trailer, it's coming out during the Super Bowl. And it was the first thing they played.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch the full trailer until after the game, but that was immediately the first thing that I did when the game was over. I needed something to cheer me up.
I'm a little scared, man.
Why?
Because Marvel and this multiverse, man, it's coming to Deadpool. Is it going to ruin the Deadpool trilogy?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think this is going to be – I truthfully think this is going to be the movie that they need to sort of get back in people's good graces. Apparently, I just read a quote from the other day from was it Bob? I don't know. One of the head honchos at Disney. It wasn't Kevin. But he came out and he was like, yeah, our plan going forward is to slow way down on how much we're putting out. Like, he said that his words was, we lost focus. So over the next couple of years, expect Disney to slow down with their Marvel production. I think this is going to be the perfect storm for Marvel. I really think that's what this movie is going to be.
I'm worried, man.
I'm not at all in the least worried about this. I don't think I guess I have enough faith in Hugh and Ryan to make the movie, even if the movie isn't the best Deadpool movie. I really think that those two together, it's going to be impossible for it not to be at least, at worst, a middle of the pack Marvel movie.
Bro, we thought the same thing with Thor: Love and Thunder.
But that's also because the tone of the trailer was completely different than what the actual movie was. So, as long as this isn't like the first Suicide Squad and the tone of the trailer is way different, then I think we'll be okay. But I have a lot of faith in Hugh and in Ryan that this is going to be an awesome movie.
The best commercial was the Arnold Schwarzenegger State Farm commercial.
That one was good.
Neighbor? Are you saying neighbor or neba?
Yeah, that one. That one was very good. I had forgotten about that.
Honestly,
one.
let's replace Mahomes with Arnold.
And just get him out of there.
I'm done with. Oh my god, they're gonna be on. Like, if we thought this year was bad with Mahomes and Kelsey commercials, it's gonna be worse.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They might even get Taylor involved.
Totally. Totally.
Oh no.
Oh, the Bet MGM one where the Tom Brady has won enough.
Oh yeah, Vince Vaughn.
That one was good.
Yeah, I love me some Vince Vaughn.
That one was really good. I loved the you've won enough, Tom.
Tom was getting some light.
He was. He absolutely was. I liked that one. The Pluto TV, the raising couch potatoes, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, they showed that a couple times.
Yeah, they had a couple different versions of that one. That one was good. And then, yeah, I mean, that's really all the ones that I can think of that really stood out as being the best ones.
Yeah, so yeah. I think if we're not talking about the game specifically now. If I'm going to do it, which, I mean, the party was awesome. Like, the people that hosted did such a great job. There was, like, endless amount of food. It was amazing. I just don't think I would go and watch with other people that aren't like Niner fans.
Right, going forward.
Well, which I don't foresee. Like, it's not like the Niners are going to be in the Super Bowl every single year, right? So, like, it's not going to be applicable to a lot of years. But if the Niners are in the Super Bowl, I'm going to be surrounded by at least 49ers supporters. Right. Because it just got so weird that only half the people could enjoy what was happening at any given moment.
Right.
And it was like it was awesome for those Chiefs fans. And I was telling Jenna this. If the Niners weren't in this Super Bowl, I would be rooting for the Chiefs.
Mm.
Because I'd want to see Mahomes have success. I like Travis. I like Taylor. So, like, I like that group as a whole. It was just the fact that the Niners were in it that it's like, well, the Chiefs can't win it.
Well, screw you, because I would never be rooting for the Chiefs.
Well, you're rooting a sinking ship, so sorry.
Yeah, whatever. What'd you think of the halftime show?
I don't think I was seated in the right spot. I couldn't hear very well, but it was weird. I just think it was a bad decision that he didn't do Yeah, which was his by far biggest song at the beginning. Yeah. Like, everyone was waiting for it, and it was just like he lost some people. But the camera work in the start, like the choreography was amazing. I was half expecting someone to fall on their face when they were rollerblading.
Oh yeah. Well, did you see the guy in the background who got thrown up in the air and just appeared to like face plant?
No.
Oh man, there's a guy. So there was one shot where there's a guy in the background, he gets thrown up like 10 feet in the air and he just goes like face down and he just disappears behind the crowd of people. And I was like, is he dead? if you got to find it, because it is genuinely hilarious. Everybody's dancing and this one guy in the background, singular dude, just goes flying up in the air. It's not like, I don't even know if it was a choreographed thing, because nobody else, like to his right or to his left, did it. It was just him flying up in the air and he just whoop, disappears. He very easily could have landed on his face and died, and nobody would have seen it. Oh, it was
shocking. Well, I bet there's like a something out there to catch him.
I would hope so, because if not, that dude scorpioned and cracked his spine.
I mean, I think I set myself up too high of expectations for it, because I honestly thought Justin Bieber was going to be there.
Yeah.
And come out with Usher, because like, Usher discovered Justin Bieber or like signed him.
Right.
They're like close or something. I think Justin was there. The sucky thing was after Usher's performance, which I don't know. I don't think it was like bad or good. I don't really think it was just eh, right? Like I don't have that strong of feelings on it. The fact that they panned to Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Lady Gaga, like all these people that were in Post Malone, all these people in the building that theoretically could have done a better job, I think was worse. It was like can Roger go up to Beyonce and be like, hey, you've done this a few times. Can you just come down and sing like one or two songs?
Right.
Like just for me, please.
So I check if you have your computer in front of you.
I do.
Check your email. I just sent you the link to the video of the guy in the background. It's genuinely really funny. I hope he's okay. And also, for any of you gamers out there, I'd like you to pull up your computer and type in Blue Armor Apex Legends and point out what the difference between that and Usher's outfit was. Because it looked the exact same.
Oh, the one that he had on the rollerblades?
Yes. It looks the exact same.
Oh, and again, with a lot of older people, husbands and wives were there at the party. Usher,
yeah.
Stripping on live TV, didn't need all the old women just being like, yeah, woo, doing all that. Didn't need it at my Super Bowl party. That's not what I was looking for.
Oh, man. Let me know when you have the video pulled up.
He definitely lands on fan because they threw him up. How did he get thrown up in the air?
Well, right. You'd think, right? But there's no – the fact that there's no evidence that he was caught is just hilarious.
He got so high.
I'm telling you, he got thrown up so high. It's really just the fact that there's no evidence that he gets caught and it wasn't staged. So it's just this one random guy. Whee!
Yeah, so that's a fan.
Yes, it is a fan. So, like I said, the fact that you can't see him get caught, the fact that it's really just the fact that you can't see him get caught and that he was so high.
Is he okay?
Like, and it was so quick, too. It was almost as if the camera saw it happen and, like, they couldn't get off of it fast.
CBS was like, we can't record a person dying.
Yes, like, you didn't. We can't have – it was like, oh, crap! And then they were just gone off of it. It was very funny. It was very funny. And it was hilarious live because I kind of was like, did anybody else see that?
Is the Super Bowl fan okay?
Super Bowl fan. Honestly. Oh, because if you type, actually the first thing, if you type in is the Super Bowl over?
Please. Will my husband come home now?
I know. Oh, man. All right. Well, let me real quick. I'm going to pull out our score sheet. You had it at 49ers 24-17. I had it at 20-17 Chiefs. Ironically, the score that I wrote down that I didn't go with would have been much closer. So with that, the NFL season is over, and that really means now we turn our attention to the NBA and the Sacramento Kings.
Let's not.
Everything pertaining around the NBA.
Dude, yesterday was tough. I sat and watched the Kings entire game.
Yep.
They never showed up to that game in Oklahoma City. Nope. And then I sat down and watched the Niners lose.
Yeah, you had a rough day yesterday. Yeah, no, I apologize. I mean, I didn't take part in it, but I apologize.
I feel like you did.
Okay.
So today, in preparation of the podcast, I'm just going to share this with you because I did some research on it.
Yeah.
I have a list of what I call the biggest losers in American sports.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is not so much as players or coaches who have like not won anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh. I don't know, like a Frank Reich, right? Like he's got a negative record and hasn't won a playoff game, right? Talking about great players that have had the opportunities to win on the biggest stage, but didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Elgin Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
Made the finals 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Lost all of them.
That's awful.
So this is the worst part. In the 71-72 season, he gets injured 8 games into the season, forced to retire.
Yeah.
The Lakers go on to win the championship that season.
That's awful.
So he ends up getting a ring, but didn't play in the series.
Wow.
I mean, he ran into Bill Russell, so that's kind of tough. Right. Marv Levy and Jim Kelly, right?
Oh,
four,
yeah.
4 Super Bowls. Marv Levy, coach of the Bills. Jim Kelly, QB of the Bills. 4 Super Bowls in a row. Didn't win any of them.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, right?
I could pull it up for you right now.
Which, that's crazy.
Right. Yes, I know. The fact that they made it to 4 back-to-back is...
The Chiefs have made 2 in a row twice.
Right, yes. It was 91, 92, 93, and 94. The scores, so let's see. Well, okay, so I have the scores of 3 of them. So the 92, yeah, I don't know why it's not showing the scores of the 91 Super Bowl. That is a little bit weird. Oh, here you go. Yeah, they're still not showing it. That's stupid. Thanks, this sports website. So in 92, they lost to the Redskins 37-24.
The who?
The Washington Redskins.
Damn, you said it a second time.
That was the name of the team.
It's not that anymore.
But that was the name of the team for a very long time. And in 93, they lost to Dallas 52-17. And then the following year, they lost.
Man, they were in that game.
Yeah, they lost to Dallas 30-13. And then for whatever reason, I don't have the 1991 Super Bowl, but I'm going to pull it up right now.
The Giants won. That's the one that they missed that field goal, right? The Steve Novak, right?
Oh, the wide right. Yeah, Giants 20, Bills 19. Wide right. Yes, that was the wide right Super Bowl.
Who's the kicker?
Let's see. I'm going to type in wide right Bills and let's see. Scott Norwood.
Oh, I'm stupid.
Scott Norwood.
Well, it is an SN. I got the initials right.
Yeah, you got that right.
Wide. So of course, that did the Patriots ever go to 4 straight Super Bowls?
No. I don't believe they did. No.
No, you don't think so? Like 2016, 17, 18?
I feel like that would – I feel like if they did, that would stand out. That would stand out to us. I'll pull it up right now. So I have – let's see. So I've got 2010. So they ran it in 2011.
Yep.
Ran in 2015. 2017, 2018, and then 2019. So they went 3 times from 17 to 19, but they didn't go 4.
Oh, they were just missing out on the Denver Carolina year?
So the year before that in 2016, it was Denver Carolina, and then after that, that was the Kansas City San Francisco one.
Yep. Okay. Man, that's wild. Mm-hmm. 4 times in a row. Bud Grant in the 70s, coach for the Vikings, lost 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
I put in Kyle. Kyle has now lost 3. Frank Tarkenton, the QB back then in the 70s, MVP, started in 3 Super Bowls, never to win one.
Oh, Fran Tarkenton?
Yeah, what'd I say, Frank?
Yeah, it's Fran.
Sorry.
The only reason why I know that is because, for whatever reason, that name gets dropped on Greeny's show all the time. I'm intimately familiar with Fran Tarkenton.
Carl,
They do sports history like nobody else. So it's just like, just I have random names in my head.
Well, I'm not the biggest fan of Greeny right now.
I don't know why.
Well, he's going after my guy.
Yeah, but he also a couple weeks ago called him the best coach in the league. So
he's a hypocrite.
No, he's allowed to call out his mistakes after a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think it's really the time. Carl Malone with three.
Hey, Stockton and Malone have got to be on this list.
Yep, and then Stockton after that. Randy Moss, visitor of two, never to win one.
What about Barkley? Was he on there?
Well, Barkley's only been to one.
Yeah, he only went to one, huh?
You know, like AI, famously, great player without a ring, only been to one. You had like Anthony Munoz for Cincinnati in the 80s.
How many Super Bowls did Dan Marino go to?
Just one.
Just one.
Yep.
Just one, huh? The Elgin Baylor one is crazy.
Yeah, isn't that? That's wild when I saw that. Like, there's no one even close to that. I
was gonna say, that can't be – that nobody can be anywhere near that, I imagine.
I mean, Elgin Baylor, great player, just ran into the Celtics.
8 NBA championships, lost every single one.
What do you think his family was saying back then? Like after the sixth or seventh time, you think they were still saying, "Hey man, you got next year. Don't worry about it. Keep your head up."
Yeah, and then they leave. They're like, "We got to do something about this Bill Russell."
They leave. They're like, oh man, we're gonna need to find Elgin some help. He's not looking so good.
What is happening here?
You know, like, and I feel like it's almost like a stare. It's like a cliche now. Like guys are sitting and letting the confetti fall on them on the bench to like build motivation.
It's over, yeah, it's overdone now.
Like I don't need that anymore. I'd be getting my butt out of there.
I don't need to stay. I know what it looks like. Forget it. I'm out.
Right, like Jalen Hurts did it last year, and I think that's when it like was like super popular. Like, oh my god, he's such a competitor.
Stephon Diggs did it a couple of years prior to that, I believe. Like when they when the Bills didn't go to the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Stephon Diggs was the one, if I remember correctly, who started that. I can look up the picture.
Now you think if Elgin Baylor did that 4 or 5 times, where would his mental be at?
Oh, geez. At some point after the fourth or fifth one, it's just, I'm out of here.
Like, yeah. His teammates are crying. He's like, guys, what the frick are you crying about? Let's get like, I'm going to Dave and Buster's.
He's like, I can guarantee you we're going to be here next year.
Keep your head up, Rook. You don't even know what pain is.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I have Stephon Diggs right here. Yeah, he stayed on the field for the KC one. I remember that. I'm trying to find the year right here, 2021. Yeah, staring.
Yeah, we need to stop that. Yeah, we need to tell these college kids, just get in the locker room.
Just get out of there, dude.
That whole, oh, you need to remember this moment. You need to remember the feeling. It's like, nah.
It's like, I will. Newsflash, I played in the game.
That was the weird thing. That play, like that walk-off play, like as soon as that pass was completed, Fred Warner just turned around, took his helmet off.
Yep.
It was like, boom, that game's done.
Yep, no reason to stay.
No, like, I'd be like going to my knees crying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you remember your last game just playing – like just playing sports.
Yeah, I won.
Well, there you go. But even so, that's the closest, I guess that's the closest thing that we have.
But that's not like, that's not Fred Warner's. I mean, knock on wood. Jeez. That shouldn't be Fred Warner's last game.
No. But I guess what I'm saying is like, in terms of our level of significance, playing in your last game is an emotional thing. So, but, yeah, well, I mean, I'm tired of the Chiefs. I think everybody's tired of the Chiefs, except for Kansas City. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, money can't buy you happiness, but it does buy you 10 years of Patrick Mahomes.
I think money's going to have to buy the Niners another corner and maybe some O-linemen.
That's fair. All I can say is that the only team to really blow the Chiefs out this year was the Raiders. So, anyway. And they did it in Arrowhead, too, on Christmas Day.
Now remind me, did they score any offensive points in that game, or was that just all the pick sixes?
I think Aiden had 8 completions. We had the blue. We showed the 49ers the blueprint.
Oh, my gosh, they did. You're right.
We showed them the blueprint. Just pick him off a bunch.
Steve Wilkes, what are we doing? How did the Raiders win 8 games this last season?
Because Antonio Pierce coached his ass off.
Got himself a contract.
Yes, he did.
They won 20-14.
I know. It was a crazy game. They dominated the game. It was so weird. It was so weird. It was such a nice Christmas Day surprise. Because I was half expecting them to get blown out by 100 points. So
if we're talking, like, honesty, the worst loss Kansas City had was against the Broncos, 24-9.
Yeah.
That was the most they lost. Every other game, they lost one possession.
Mm-hmm. For a team that also just felt like they were counted out the entire year, you know?
Well, they had a tough stretch there.
Yeah. I mean, and they were the underdog in every single game in the postseason. Except the Miami one. I don't think.
Yeah.
But the other three.
Now, wasn't Buffalo a pick'em? I thought it was straight up.
I think they were the underdog, if I remember correctly. I'm not 100% confident in that, but I believe they were the underdog.
Bro, Buffalo could have just beat them.
I know.
Yeah, they had a stretch where they lost like 4 out of 6 games.
Mm-hmm. They went on a really big skid. And the Raiders won, like, sort of, like, capped it. It was weird because that was when people were, like, really writing off the Chiefs. Like, oh, the Chiefs are on a big skid. They'll have a get-right game against the Raiders who are just in free fall. And then the Raiders go to Kansas City, beat them the way that they did. That was, like, rock bottom for them. I heard a couple of the players reference, like, that was kind of when things started to turn for the team because that was when it was like, I can't believe that just happened. And honestly, all of us Raider fans were like, I really can't believe that just happened.
So Mahomes had to get. I
don't know if they lost another game after that.
After the Raiders game, they did not.
Yeah, I think they went perfect after.
So that. It's the Raiders' fault.
Yes, it is our fault. We couldn't beat the championship back into them.
You couldn't have just let them wipe the floor with you guys like every other week.
Yeah.
To get them into a false, lull them into a false sense of security.
It really is our fault.
This is wild that Mahomes was at Disneyland today.
I know. Get some sleep, dude.
Yeah. Like, I would be literally telling my agent or, like, I don't know, the NFL. Like, I don't know who puts that trip together. I'd be like, can I get a day off?
Like, Disney will still be there.
Can I actually go in the summertime when it's a little nicer?
Like, not going anywhere. I need some sleep.
Just send Pacheco.
Yeah.
I don't need to go to this.
Oh, man. Well, the NFL season is officially over. I guess now we turn our attention to basketball. Hopefully the Kings will carry us through. And the NBA is now becoming the, I guess, the focal point of the sports world for now, at least I think in America at the moment. Yeah, go Kings. And we'll be back next week with another episode. And who the hell knows what we're going to talk about?
Oh, no.
Not really. It'll be the NBA. It'll be the Kings. We'll do a. It's now that football's over, it'll be deep dive time into the NBA. So that'll be fun. We have the draft coming up as well in a couple months. So we'll keep the NFL in some episodes and some segments because obviously the draft is of some importance, especially for a team like mine who is picking pretty high. So
I'm gonna miss football, man. I had a lot of fun this year, picking, wiping the floor with your butt.
Right.
And
it was over early.
It's just a good year when the Niners just go out and dominate.
Yeah, and I hope that we get a season where both of our teams play well.
Dude, a nothing to say Super Bowl.
Oh man, that would be so.
I'd rather the Raiders win. For your sake.
What do you mean? Oh, just because we? It's because I've never seen it.
Well, I just feel like that would be. I don't know, man. If they get to the Super Bowl and don't win, I feel like that's your only shot.
I don't know. It's tough. Yeah, I don't picture them being there anytime soon. I don't know what this Pierce thing is going to be. We need a quarterback. It'll be interesting to see. I can't even imagine what it would be like because just having the Kings make the playoffs, be there, play as well as they did. I mean, obviously, I've seen the Raiders go to the playoffs twice, but I haven't seen them do anything of consequence. So, you know, it's just right now, fingers crossed for my sake and, you know, for your sake, too, that the Kings do well. So,
well, I think I'm fortunate. It enough that I think the Niners will be back.
Yeah,
hopefully in the next 10 years. I think it's safe to say they might. They're gonna have one Super Bowl appearance in the next 10 years.
I think that's fair.
Right, like if the Raiders make it, I would sacrifice. I'll put that out there as I'm gonna represent the Niners in this situation. I think the Raiders should win that one.
Well, I appreciate it. It's crazy too to me because during the like 70s and 80s and like early 90s, the Raiders were like the team.
Well, they only have one Super Bowl, right?
They won three.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they won three. And not only did they win three, but they were like, they were always in the playoffs. They had this like aura about them that I just hear as if it was legend.
It's like the Kings in the early 2000s.
Exactly. Like they just were this like iconic NFL franchise that I just know nothing about. So yeah, one day, hopefully. But right now I'm rooting for De'Aaron Fox and DeMontez Sabonis.
So you think the Raiders are going to trade up? Should they trade up in this draft to get a QB?
I hope they go get Justin Fields. That would be my hope, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's what I would want more than I don't know what they would have to give up. Again, we had theorized that maybe the reason why they kept Davante Adams was to use him as a trade incentive on draft day. I don't know how likely that is now, considering we have a new coach that everybody seems to like. So I think I would want them to go out because I don't think Kirk is going to leave Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Bears are going to take a quarterback, I think they try to go get Justin Fields. That would be what I would want.
Hey, Trubisky is available.
Oh, great. We have Trubisky on our roster. His name's Aiden O'Connell.
I like how you've turned the corner on Aiden O'Connell.
I haven't. I'm just throwing jokes out there. If we rolled into next season just giving Aiden a try, I wouldn't be that mad.
Waste of a year.
But if the opportunity is there for us to go get Justin Fields, yeah, I'd be all in on that. All in on that.
I just really hope. And I think what I was really worried about, and we talked about it last week, the fact that if the Niners lose, Purdy is going to be under a lot of fire. I think he's actually been kind of received positively for his performance. Yeah,
and we're getting to the end here, but a lot of people I've heard were talking about him in very positive light, saying that he played really well and that there's no reason why he shouldn't come back next year because they're quarterback.
Yep.
So I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I do.
Oh, yeah. I think he's just got to improve a little. Like if the Niners were to go in with the same roster, retaining everyone, and you just said, well, Purdy's a year older and he's got one more year under his system. We saw the jump from last season to this season. He went from like a guy that was really managing games to a guy that was the primary factor in the Niners winning games throughout the season. And he was making some huge throws this year. If he's getting better in the offseason and more comfortable in the offense, then I think the Niners are a better team.
Agreed. Agreed. All right. Well, with that, we close the book on the 2023-2024 NFL season. And we will see you all next week.
See ya.